Om Jnanadhimanandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dhena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Welcome back, everyone. Nice to see you all. Hare Krishna. How's everyone today? Fantastic. May I have a nectar of instruction? Lucky for us, we have a guidebook of how to practice bhakti. These writings that have been passed down are particularly important to guide us on the process of going back to, in the path of going back to Godhead. And, of course, in anything, it's helpful to have a guidebook and a guide, isn't it? You're going to cook something? You got a cookbook? But it's good to have the cook around also when you got some questions. There's a particular instruction. We can focus in on one particular instruction and get a lot out of it by applying it in our lives. And the one I'd like to look at today is from the Nectar of Instruction. And it comes in the third verse. You see, in this little book, Srila Rupa Goswami has summarized all the principles that one needs to understand the entire Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy as taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from beginning to end. It starts with the instruction, vacho vegam, which means watch what you say. Because I've been studying this recently, speech is extremely powerful. It's what actually, language and speech exist before the creation. It's actually an act of creation to speak. So be careful what you create in your life. When you speak, you're creating something. And what you speak says a lot about you, according to Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. One can understand a person's consciousness, because consciousness is carried through sound. It starts off with vacho vegam, such a simple thing, right at home, that one can practice wherever one goes. And it ends up talking about the pinnacle of the spiritual world, the highest emotions that one can attain through the practice of bhakti, starting with controlling one's speech. I mean, where else would you start, right? You can't go somewhere. The longest journey begins with the first step. There's a science in Japan called Kaizen, which means that you have to start at the beginning and take small steps. The longest journey begins with the first step. Isn't that reassuring? You can start with one step in the right direction. Yes or yes?
Yes.
Yes, it is. And there are a series of instructions that, if taken seriously in this book, one can transform one's life overnight. In fact, we don't even have to wait for overnight. We can do it tonight. Now. And in the third verse of the Nectar of Instruction, there are six particular elements that one can apply to one's life, principles, I should say, that make the cultivation of bhakti very fruitful, very fruitful. Of course, right before that, he gave six principles that one should be wary of, one should avoid. And then he gives six, so there's six negative principles, don't do these things, and then six things that you should do on a regular basis. That's pretty simple, 12 little things, six don't do, six do. That's possible, right? You can memorize that. If you can memorize C++, whatever that is, and a bunch of other stuff, you can memorize six little principles on one side and six little principles on the other side and apply them in your life. So let's look at one of them from the positive column tonight. What do you say? Okay. So one that I thought, it's something very passive. It almost sounds like you could pass it up if you're not a little bit, if you're a little passionate, you can look at it and go, nah, that's nothing. Just zip right by it. So I was coming home the other night. Someone ran a stop sign. It was in the most obscure part of my of town, just when I was coming home, pitch black, and someone ran a stop sign. I said, that was dangerous. And then a couple seconds later, I saw a police car turn on its lights and go after him. What are the chances? And I was just thinking about that. He just went right past the stop sign, didn't heed the sign. And similarly, these principles, we can just go right past them, and we can miss so much. What is it, Vaisheshika Gadas? Well, it's in this third verse, the third principle that he mentions, which is called Tarayat. And translated, it means being patient. Being patient. If one is patient, then one can easily cultivate devotional service. Or it's extremely helpful being patient. In describing this, the importance of being patient, Srila Prabhupada tells about his own life, and one could look at that and benefit. He said when he came to America, it was not very fruitful in the beginning. In fact, he mentions elsewhere that he used to go and look at the schedule for the Jaladuta going back to India. Because apparently he was given the opportunity to not just come, but also to go back. And he went a few times and he looked what the schedule was, just so he could note and think, well, if I have to, I can go back. But he didn't. And he says in this purport that the first year that he was in America trying to spread the Krishna consciousness movement, there was no success, and it was a great struggle. No apparent success, and it was a great struggle. And there's much said about patience in literature all over the world, not just in relationship to practicing bhakti. I have a few quotes here. But first of all, we'll hear the definition of patient. Wouldn't you like to know that, what it means? Patience.
The quality of being patient as the bearing of provocation, annoyance, misfortune, or pain, without complaint, loss of temper, irritation, or the like. An ability or willingness to suppress restlessness or annoyance when confronted with delay. Quiet, steady perseverance, even-tempered care, diligence. Then patience also means a game of cards.
Okay, let me read this again. Able to remain calm and not become annoyed when waiting for a long time and when dealing with problems or difficult people. Does that sound like you? I'll read it again. Able to remain calm and not become annoyed when waiting for a long time or when dealing with problems or difficult people. Done in a careful way over a long period of time without hurrying. I mean, this is one of the primary six ways that one can advance in bhakti. And that's when it's given as an adjective. It is interesting that it's given as a noun also, that one can be a patient. A person who receives medical care or treatment. I mean, in the metaphor of bhakti, we also have such ideas about how we're patients. The temple sometimes is described as a hospital, and the holy name is described as medicine. Nheshodimaya nashi barulagi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I brought the medicine. You just take it now. But oftentimes, with medicine, people can get impatient. I have a friend that never ceases to amaze me how impatient he is when he gets sick. And he gets sick a lot. But whenever I'm in Vrindavan, he'd get sick, and then he'd go, I go get some medicine. I said, wait a day or two. And he said, oh, go get something. And he come back with antibiotics. And I think, antibiotics only works on bacteria. It doesn't work on viruses or other things. He said, like, yeah, I told them to give me the strongest thing they have. And then he'd take one, and then about a half day later, he goes, not working. And then he'd take extra. And then that wouldn't work, so he'd go back to the doctor and say, give me something else. And with medicine, you have to have, first of all, it's a good idea to have some vision, to intelligently understand what the medicine is. And there's a way in which one can study the science of Krishna consciousness and understand the difference between the body and the soul, the power of transcendental sound. There are so many examples given, analogies, philosophy, that one can orient oneself to and understand how this is efficacious. And then one has to take it without becoming annoyed or feel that, oh, maybe it's not working. But with normal medicine, if you verify that you're going to a good doctor and you see that the doctor did due diligence in prescribing the medicine, then what do? You take it whatever way you feel like taking it, right? Take it as prescribed? Okay. Prem Vilas, is that true? He's a doctor, let's ask him. When you get medicine, you can take it any way you want, right? You take it according to the prescription of the doctor. It says take it like this. So you have to be a little patient, but you have to follow the order of the doctor. You have to be a good patient and be patient. That's why they call them patients. And oftentimes when you're taking medicine, it doesn't work right away. You may experience that I'm still sick, but you have to have faith and keep taking the medicine. And then there's a time at which you may think, oh, maybe it's working. You can barely tell if it's working or not. And then if you keep going, then there's one day you'll come to when you go, oh, it's definitely working. I can tell I'm turning the corner, I'm feeling better. And then one can recover. But one has to go through the full course, take the medicine properly. So without becoming annoyed or angry or giving up the process, one has to continue taking the medicine. Isaac Newton, great scientist. Yes or yes? If I have ever made any valuable discoveries, it owes to the fact that I gave patient attention. If I have ever made any valuable discoveries, it has been owing to patient attention than to any other talent. This is the statement of a scientist. That he gave patient attention. He said that's why he had discoveries. Not any other talent, but just being patient. Patient attention. That's a nice phrase, isn't it? And it applies to, for instance, when we do our meditation in the morning. If you give patient attention, what does that mean, patient attention? You have to hear the holy name with attention, but you also have to be patient because your mind may run away. Do you ever have a child that you take care of and the child runs away or doesn't concentrate on what you'd like him or her to do? Anybody have that experience? Like right now? But you have to be patient with a child. Child, you have to understand that it takes some time to help the child to get focused, and child grows up after some time also. So similarly, in our we have give patient attention when we're doing our chanting. It means we can't get annoyed with ourselves, can't get annoyed with your mind. You can't give up also. You have to simply sit there. It's sort of a passive way to success, just being very patient. Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote, "Patience and fortitude conquer all things. Patience and fortitude conquer all things." What do you think of that one? Difficult? Any other reactions? Patience and fortitude conquer all things. Do you find that to be true? Do you find a grain of truth in what he said? How so? In what way do you find a grain of truth in that?
It's just a simple example that Prabhupada also gives, how if a woman wants a child, she has to be patient, and then means live through the process, and then there is a success that one day she gets a child. And same thing with bringing up the child also, like if we patiently tolerate them and imbibe the principles, and then we get success, like because good disciples and good children are produced that
okay.
way.
So practical, you've experienced that. Yes, Bali Mardan.
So what is the limit of the patience and how it is? So how it is likely being applicable in terms of, there are many instances, for example, if you are in a traffic light and somehow it did not, one round, two rounds, it did not turn green, then people in the lane, they try to go and different routes, which is true, because otherwise you are a fool. Why have to wait? So one has to really realize, what is the one I am really looking for to be having patience? Suppose I'm giving an example, when the sage in the king, one king was giving a charity to Durvasa Muni, and he said that I like to eat the kheer. And he said that, yeah, you wait the kheer, you hold the kheer, I'm coming. But maybe year after year he is holding the kheer. Durvasa didn't come. But that is the true patience, because somebody has order. The commandment is connection with the patience. So similarly, for us, how to define our patience is very important. So give some insight so that we are truly investing the right amount of patience.
Well, in regard to chanting Hare Krishna, which is the main practice for advancing in bhakti, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur compares it to growing fruits, of growing a fruit tree and waiting for the fruit. You can't hurry it. In gardening, you know that things take their own time. They go through various cycles. And when you plant a tree, some trees give fruits faster than others. Some put their roots down first before they offer you anything. There's some plants that go in the ground, some kinds of bamboo that go in the ground, you can't even see them. And for several years, sometimes 5 years, 6 years, they're putting roots way down, and then as soon as they come up, then they shoot up very quickly. So one has to study the science and see what it takes. So in regard to that, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur advises that in our chanting, we have to, first of all, we should understand that complete success is there for the sincere practitioner, and that it comes when Krishna desires to give the fruit in his own time. So we should see that it's up to a higher authority, but we should have faith that he will supply that when the time comes. Yes, Hari Vamsha.
I actually find this statement like a super sutra, patience and fortitude. I remembered once Sachinandan Swami Maharaj was mentioning the example of in person, kind of he was being a ventriloquist of how a cup would feel when it is molded from earth to the final cup. And he's kind of all the time screaming, now please stop it. I mean, you have molded me, that's okay. And the molder, the potter, is saying, no, it's not done. You will be baked now. He's saying, no, it's enough. You have baked me enough. Now please stop it. And he's saying, no, now you will be colored and you will be put in the sun. This goes on. And it was patient process and it was fortitude, because certain courage was being displayed in the midst of adversity. And the final product was a beautiful tea cup. And when he is being a ventriloquist and saying, aha, now I understand. Thank you for always keeping that vision in mind. And so I found that, yeah, these two words are so crucial. It's a long journey, but every step by step, somebody who has the vision, maybe a teacher or maybe a guru, he can say, well, hold on.
Yes, you can hear that from a teacher. So somebody, for instance, teaching a musical instrument, and you can see how expert they are, for instance. Like my Madanga teacher, Akinchana Krishna Prabhu, who's very expert at playing the Madanga, and he would tell me, look, you have to do hand practice for an hour a day. He said, if you do hand practice for an hour a day, and you go very slowly, and you're very patient, you don't try to speed up before you actually have the technique down, and you take your time, then naturally you'll develop the skill. But it takes time and patience. So in when we were in Mayapur recently, we had lunch at a devotee's house, and their kids are learning Madanga. And they were talking about how the kids were asked to do hand practice, and they get really impatient. And they say, I want to do that. I want to do all the fancy stuff first. I want to play all the special talls and everything like that. And they go, no, do the basics first. Do the basics over and over again, and then gradually you'll come to that point. So grasping this point about patience, if you start at the beginning with the fundamentals and you do gradually, Lulita, do you have a point? Pass her the mic. That there's a natural way that you'll mature. You'll ripen on the vine.
Thank you. I felt I got a lot out of that statement by Ralph Waldo Emerson. Like, thinking deeply, it seems it's the courage that gives you the patience.
Courage gives you patience.
In my mind, I'm not sure if that's how you would put it.
Can you unpack that? Just tell us a little more about your realization.
I mean, it's a result-oriented world and result-oriented exposure. And not to see the result and to still go on, one has to have some courage. And I'm understanding that courage comes from some degree of faith. And I was wondering if you could elaborate on the courage piece of it.
I can say more about that in relationship to what both of you said. In watching my teacher, I saw how expert he was. And then he told me, so this is how I became expert. I was patient. And I remember watching him in New York years before when he was an expert. And I thought, how did he become expert? And he said, this is how I did it. I was patient. And I did the basics over and over again. And then I became expert. And hearing that vibration and then seeing for oneself, it's important to see examples of those who have followed the process. It's like people say, how did you get like that? It's like, I just followed the process. Which process did you follow? The basic process. It doesn't take extra things. It takes following the basic things. There's a way in which there's so many basic things, but one symptom of impatience is that instead of taking the simple process seriously, my mind wants to go to all kinds of other things. For instance, Prabhupada wrote some basic books, which are sufficient. There's Srimad Bhagavatam, there's Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's the Nectar of Devotion. There's the Bhagavad Gita. There's the Nectar of Instruction. I can go on for a few minutes, but just those that I've mentioned, if one is patiently reads those, again and again and listens to what's in them, then one will develop spiritually. But the natural tendency is to leave those books sitting on the shelf and then go to the cloth market in Vrindavan and go through the millions of myriad other books and say, well, I need this one and this one and this one and this one, and bring them all home in a big stack, and then pick away a little bit from this one or not at all, and just think, I have a lot of books now. So part of the patient process is hearing that it works, observing that it works, and then applying it in one's own life systematically. Patiently, systematically. Srivas Pandit.
Probably I had a question on a practical level. On the, say, for example, if you are a manager and you are expecting something from your subordinates, how much of patience you should exhibit before that's being taken advantage of?
Depends what company you're in. Yeah, I mean, there's an art. Many people have written about this, who are expert managers, of how to create an environment in which people want to serve. Even in the corporate world, excellent managers, there are excellent teachers. You'll run into teachers in your school that are expert in helping the students move forward. There are expert managers that you'll find in the corporate world even, who are a little bit enlightened, and they understand human psychology and human emotion. And rather than forcing people, they encourage them, and they get good things out of them by being patient at the right times. And Prabhupada, in his management style, emphasized how one should create an environment so that devotees will want to do service in a mood that's individual, spontaneous, and voluntary. How to create that mood and be patient with people is a great art, actually. So one day when I was distributing books in Santa Cruz, California, Shraddha Devi Dasi was right there. We had a table, and we talked to a man who was extremely critical of what we were showing him. And his daughter was there with him, and he was giving her a whole lecture. At first, he was a little interested. He was holding, not a little interested. He was a little critical to start with, looking at the book. And then he said, so what, is it free? And I said, we just take a donation. He said, I knew it. And he gave the book back to me, and he said, I knew it. You were just here for the money. This is just exploitative. And then he went off on a tirade, explaining to his daughter how there is no God. There's no difference between the street lamp and God and this and that. He had a whole philosophy, and he went on for some time. Lucky I had a witness here. Shraddha was right there. And we were a little patient with him. I just kind of kept quiet and was patient with him. I sensed something about the situation, and he went on for at least 5 minutes. He had a lot to say, and none of it made much sense, but we listened. And because I was a little patient with him at the end, with Shraddha Devi Dasi as my witness, the guy suddenly said, all right, give me the book, and he gave a donation and they handed it to his daughter. And I just see, in dealing with people sometimes, if you're a little bit patient with them, in dealing with a spouse, for instance, if you're a little bit patient, and don't jump to a conclusion, you wait for a little while. There's great power in the subtlety of patience. And in the practice, if you don't try to rush, but you take this simple path that I will apply the basics very carefully, and I'll do it every day, and I'll keep doing it until I notice a tiny little result, and then I'll get another tiny little result, and I'll keep moving forward. And I won't try to jump ahead in some artificial way. If one patiently applies the process, one is assured of success. I'll read you another quote. This one is from Shakespeare. How poor are they who have not patience? What wound did heal but by degrees? You know, when you're sick or injured, that's another time you can notice that by degrees things heal. And similarly, by degrees, we also make advancement in devotional service. Every little step helps. Okay, from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he saw Raghunath Das Goswami, who was a young boy at the time, who was very eager to take to Krishna consciousness immediately, and was in a situation in which he could not do that, Mahaprabhu gave him this instruction: be patient and return home. Don't be a crazy fellow. By and by, you will be able to cross the ocean of material existence. By and by. Be patient. In the purport, Prabhupada quotes the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.58 that says, this material world is just like a big ocean. It begins with Brahmaloka and extends to Patala Loka, and there are many planets or islands in this ocean. Not knowing about devotional service, the living entity wanders about this ocean just as a man tries to swim to reach the shore. Our struggle for existence is similar to this. Everyone is trying to get out of the ocean of material existence. One cannot immediately reach the coast, but if one endeavors, he can cross the ocean by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. One may be very eager to cross this ocean, but he cannot attain success by acting like a madman. He must swim over the ocean very patiently and intelligently under the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his representative. Look at three concepts here that you can take to the bank. He said patiently, intelligently, and under guidance. If you take those three things, it'd be a complete success in the practice of bhakti yoga. That's three things: is patiently, intelligently, and under guidance. What are the three things? Patiently, intelligently, and under guidance. Hari Vamsa? Question. How exciting.
In many previous classes on the same verse, when we were talking about determination and enthusiasm and how we can develop it, you had mentioned that, well, associate with enthusiastic persons, associate with those who are determined. My question is how we can develop patience. Does that follow the same? It looks tough.
How you can develop patience?
Just like you had explained that to develop enthusiasm, associate with those who are enthusiastic, because enthusiasm and determination...
Oh, so you're saying, how do you develop patience?
If you, because of the modes of passion...
Well, one way is by talking about it today. It's just by bringing attention to the fact that it is a much lauded quality. Of course, in any discipline, but here it's being applied to the process of spiritual life. And I made it a little dramatic that this is in a very important book by our main acharya, and he has pinpointed six and six, and one of those six is right here. So you can take it from the doctor. The doctor says, take this, try it, you know, apply this to your regimen, and you'll get better. He knows. So one of the ways is simply taking the authority and saying, okay, this is good for me. I can apply this. And when you start thinking about it, when you go to apply the process, for instance, tomorrow morning you'll sit down to chant your japa, and your mind will want to take off to Monte Carlo. Or where else? You don't even know where Monte Carlo is, but your mind probably does. You could go to where? Mayapur. His mind probably would go to Mayapur. You can remember that we talked about it. That's one of the points of having satsang and talking about specific points. Then you can apply it and think, oh, right, we talked about this. Be patient. And there's an application to it. What do? You just... It's very passive, actually. You don't do anything. But practically, there's kind of a reverse to this also, and it's in the same genre of how one overcomes the urges of the senses. Urges are interesting little characters. They show up and until they become addiction, then it gets really serious. You have to be careful not to indulge them, because then they can cross a line, and then you need serious help to overcome addictions. But urges, they're little fellows, and they show up, and they say something. They hold a little sign up, and they say, I'm going to be here forever, so give in. But you find out, if you're a little patient with them, and the word is neglect. Like Jamuna told me once, her mom is very expert at growing orchids. And I say, what is the science of growing orchids? Does anybody know? Tender, loving neglect. Tender, loving neglect. You put them in a place and you just leave them alone. Don't mess with them because they don't like too much attention. So neglect is another side of patience. When it comes to these urges that come up that try to dissuade me from my practice, then you can execute neglect. Do you neglect anything in your lives? Anybody? Anything important? Say yes. Make me feel better. Okay, good. It's called procrastination. You got an important thing to do. And when I was telling Kojin last night, he came over, and I was talking about writing my book, and one very humorous thing happened. I mean, the mind finds all kinds of ways when I'm up against a difficult task, to find all kinds of other things to do that are very important. So I started learning Sanskrit. I got a Sanskrit teacher on Skype, and then I got busted because I was supposed to be writing. And one morning I was in Vrindavan at Govardhan, and I was on Skype call with this guy in South America teaching me Sanskrit. I had all my papers out, and Keshabharti Maharaj walked in. He was my editor. And he looked on the screen, he looked at all my papers, and then he kind of looked at me funny, and then when I hung up, he came over, what are you doing? I said, I'm learning Sanskrit. And he goes, no, you're not. You're supposed to be writing the book. No, stop it. So there's a way that there are millions of ways that one can invent to procrastinate and so forth. And one can apply those when it comes to urges that come up that are unhealthy. Just say, sorry, you'll have to wait. That's what Haridas Thakur did. When someone came and tried to dissuade him from his chanting, said in the middle of the night, it was a prostitute sent by the county constable who wanted to defame him. And he basically said, yeah, just wait. Later, I'm busy. When I'm finished, then, you know. No heavy resistance, just neglect, basically. So studying the science and understanding the principle is the first step. You become conscious of it, and then you can apply it in different ways. Very subtle. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this instruction to Raghunath Das Goswami, and he continued, you should not make yourself a show bottle devotee and become a false renunciate. For the time being, enjoy the material world in a befitting way and do not become attached to it. He told him to stay in his position. So part of patience may mean that I may be in a situation which is not my ideal situation for spiritual life right now. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Raghunath Goswami, who was in a similar situation, just stay in your position and continue to do what you can do in that situation, and Krishna will come and get you. Stane stita shutigatam tanuvan manobir. This is a famous statement from Lord Brahma's prayers. He said, stay where you are, don't try to make any sudden moves, but add this consistent practice of devotional service to your life, and you'll come to the highest stage of devotional service by patiently applying it. So the sadhana, the practice, by which we reach the sadhya, the goal of devotional service, is singular. It's just the repetition with patient attention of the name of God. How's that? Doable?
Yes.
Okay, let's try it. So anyone can do this, and we'll try it together now to remind ourselves of the practice. And there's a way we can count by counting on your hand. If you hold up your hand, you'll find there's 10 little segments that Krishna imprinted on your hand just for chanting. And that's why they're there. If you ever wondered why those little segments are on your hand, that's why. So one starts when you put your thumb on the middle segment of your ring finger. One. Then you move down one segment to the bottom of your ring finger, that's two. Then to the bottom of your little finger, the middle of your little finger, top of your ring finger, top of your ring finger, top of your middle finger, top of your index finger, middle of your index finger, bottom of your index finger. 10 little units. That's so convenient. And then, if you have two hands, which most people seem to have here, then you've got 10 more on the other side. This is ideal for counting. So we can try, let's do 10 mantras and we'll count them. And we'll go really slow, we'll be really patient, and we'll count each mantra on one segment and we'll go through all 10. 10 whole mantras. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. First I'll call out the Panchatattva mantra, which was given to us by Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj to help clear the way so we can chant. Please repeat after me. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Gadadhara, Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Together 10. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And in answer to your question, Harivamshapur, where does patience come from? If one can use one's intelligence to apply intelligence and chant, which is a direct process of contacting Krishna, then naturally one will develop patience by the power of the mantra. As the Bhagavatam says, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayara Haitukam. And that is, by the direct process of devotional service, through which one contacts Krishna, one develops knowledge and detachment. When you have a little detachment, you have some objectivity, and you can be a little patient. And therefore, if you take it through the scripture as a prescription and you apply the process of chanting Hare Krishna, you're a little patient, then you'll also get the fortification that comes by the chanting process. As mentioned also in the Shastra, Tachcharatana munayo jnana vairagya yuktaya pashyantyatmani chatmanam paktyashuta grihitaya. And that is that one becomes fortified with knowledge and detachment, and one also becomes a little thoughtful in the process. And then one can make great advancement in the process of devotional service. So what was the message for tonight? Be patient. Patience and fortitude conquers all things, Gandharvika said. What did you all get from it? Do you feel like being more patient now? Yeah? Okay. It's a fairly profound concept, and it's very helpful to really look carefully at the literature that we've been given and then drill into one particular thing and try it out, because there's a way that one could also gloss all of these principles and then not take them seriously. But if you take one and simply apply it through the system of Kaizen, the Japanese system of taking one simple thing and applying it just a little bit in your life, then you'll see some result and you'll be very encouraged. So patience is a great virtue in all kinds of tasks and disciplines, and it is especially recommended by our great Acharya Rupa Goswami, of all people. So we can take that to the bank. Vancha kalpadurubhascha kripasanabhyebhacha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavebhyo
Nachari Armarman.